We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Tom Brady stood in rarefied air.
I love you.
I played Tom Brady and know what that feels like to watch a penalty not be a penalty.
It's still KC all day, baby. It's still Chiefs Kingdom to me.
It's still real to me, damn it.
You can't call that.
I have not changed my mind about Tom Brady.
I can't take it anymore.
There is no right answer when we talk about who's the GOAT. One man's chicken is another man's gumbo.
$275 worth of Alaskan king crab.
Once you have good people.
Son, it's great to have you.
The trick is to try to have continuity. Please God, one more season of Tommy and Bill Belichick.
Welcome to the Super Bowl! Welcome to the Super Bowl!
Our God is an awesome God.
Right now.
We find out what Brewski said about him. We have the Brewski stuff.
Hey, keep the guys on it now!
Well, we play what?
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, Brewski, coming up in the next hour, we'll talk a lot more football, and we'll continue talking football. And then, as I told you, first installment of our emotional comfort room, and we're sending Christian, and we're locking him up for a few minutes, because he's got some serious, serious issues with somebody.
Oh, I mean, that's an understatement.
You have serious issues.
It has nothing to do with my real issues.
The other person has serious issues.
Certain topics that you can't discuss, certain feelings that you can't express,
you'll get
are better suited to be told and... You know, in the comfort room.
Okay, so Mariano Rivera in unanimous. It's about time. I mean, baseball writers for years have been dopes. Well, you know, Babe Ruth never was unanimous, and, you know, Willie Mays was never unanimous. So you screwed up in the past, okay? And you didn't vote for those guys and give them every single vote. So you're going to continue to screw up to keep worthy candidates out of it. So finally, they gave up on that. And they threw the towel in and said, okay, this is it. Now, Bill Belew
changed his mind.
Did he vote in?
Yeah, he changed his mind. He actually voted for him.
He got pressure.
Which I got a problem with.
Okay, so let me give the story, and then I'm going to hear your problem. So he writes, he's been a longtime writer for the Worcester Telegram and Gazette, Bill Belew, Trey, that's his name. And so he's been here for years, and he came out like a month ago, and he said he's going to abstain from the voting because he does not want to stick it to Mariano Rivera because he wasn't going to vote for him because you know why? Because he's a closer.
Right.
And the closers aren't that important as apparently Bill Belew has found out with these new advanced metrics, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life because during his entire career, he might have been the most valuable player on those Yankee teams.
I always thought he was.
So he changed his mind and he now voted for him?
Yes, apparently. And that, it bothers me just when you think of, okay, you have the responsibility of deciding whether somebody's a Hall of Famer or not. And to these, it's a good question as far as who should be voting for it anyways. But, you know, so you come to the conclusion that he's not. You know, so how much time did you spend deciding whether he was or he wasn't to the point where in a week or two you change your mind?
He had 5 years.
Or even in a year or two you change your mind. Like, I even have an issue when guys like, you know, I never voted for him the first 4 years. But, you know, people make their cases, and I changed my mind.
So you think he added stats?
No, so I'm just, that's what I mean. So that's like, I think it's gotten watered down, okay? And even myself in talking about it, it's gotten watered down. I remember the first day just talking about, the first year maybe I did radio, talking about a Hall of Fame, I'm like, man, it should be like one a year or two a year. If it's three, that's unbelievable class.
Right.
And now I feel like it's just four a year. And it's one of these things, well, he got 50% or 60%, so he's climbing in the right direction. The next 3 years, he's going to get enough votes to be a Hall of Famer. And it's like, part of me feels like they should be on the ballot for like 3 years, 2 years, 2 years.
Well,
hell,
used
maybe
to,
even just one. Are you or aren't you? What are we doing?
It used to be 15. They cut it down to 10 now.
So
but you're right. You're right. You either know the guy's a Hall of Famer. He doesn't add a single statistic after he retires, right?
Yeah,
so you know what it is. And what's pissing,
doesn't change.
Here's what's pissing me off right now. Suddenly these writers who vote for it, many of them who are statistical nerds, are suddenly looking at the advanced metrics and saying, oh, it all changes. Edgar Martinez was held out because he was a designated hitter for all those years.
Yeah.
Now suddenly he's in? Now, I think he should have been in before because you, in 1974, decided that one of your two leagues was going to have a designated hitter. That's a position. You have to accept and respect that position. Like Bill Ballew was not respecting a closer position using these new advanced metrics. But Edgar Martinez actually got in now, Lou, because the advanced metric shows he was a hell of a lot better than what they thought when he played.
So when a guy is first up for the Hall of Fame, you have... Okay, take out Barry Bonds, right? Just take out any of the steroid guys. Take out Clemens, right? Just put them in a different category. We'll talk about that type of situation later. But if you have a guy like...
The juice category.
Hey, sure. If you have a guy like Ken Griffey Jr., who was not a unanimous Hall of Famer...
Should have been.
It's a joke. And that's my issue with it. So hold on. So you have everybody in the room thinks that this guy is a Hall of Famer, but you're withholding your vote because of what? Why?
Because Babe Ruth never got it. Because of precedent?
What is it? Is that what we're doing?
Because someone screwed up 70 years ago.
70 years ago, somebody had an axe to grind. They were irritated. They didn't like him. They thought he was fat and out of shape or whatever. Maybe he like dissed them. Maybe he green-flied them. But that's what we're going for? To me, it drives me freaking insane that these guys have the ability to basically determine somebody else's fate when all they freaking do is watch the game.
You know, and I get uncomfortable talking about guys that I don't feel like are Hall of Fames because it comes off like, you know, disrespectful and, you know, he's better than you. And no kidding, all right? Everybody I played with is better than me. It's not the point. The point is that there's nothing wrong with saying this guy was great. I mean, he had an unbelievable career, 17 years in the big leagues, and just every there, you know, he was a big-time pitcher. You always knew you were in for a battle that night. But that's different than saying he was one of the most dominant pitchers of the era, right? And that's where I feel like Messina slides into. And unfortunately, that's where I feel like Schill slides into, too, as well. Andy Pettit as well. You know, I don't know, maybe they're right in that cusp. And if they're in a cusp, maybe they're not Hall of Famers.
Well, if Messina's in, then Schilling is in.
Schilling's better than Messina, no question.
11-2 with a 2.23 ERA in the postseason. We know the bloody sock in the Hawks, but we know why. Schill's number, actually, I was impressed. It was higher than I thought. He got over 60%.
Yeah.
He's got to get to 75. I didn't think he would get that this year. He's got three more years to do it, but we all know why he's going the other way.
Biggio was another one.
Yes.
Right, he got his 3,000 hits.
Right in the cusp.
20 years, right?
You know,
so, great player, and it sounds disrespectful, you know, because it's like, oh, you don't think he's a Hall of Famer? No, I don't.
Longevity.
Honestly, I think Robbie Alomar, who didn't get in the first time, was a freaking joke,
right?
Was the greatest all-around second baseman of the generation, period.
Yeah, but longevity for him, I mean, for Biggio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, in my time, I would say Pedro, Randy, Clemens, Maddox, Glav, and maybe even Smoltz.
Those are the elite.
Because of what he did.
Those are the elite.
An elite starter, an elite closer, right. And then, oh, by the way, went back to being an elite starter again at like 38. So it's like, just did it all. Like, those are just elite. And Halliday, I look at and I say, you know, I feel bad, but I don't know, I guess he is. Because when I looked at him, it was just 9 complete games every single year when nobody was doing it. But he was an absolute horse.
So that is an example of it. He was dominant during the period that he pitched. He was just totally dominant.
And I felt like it was a little bit later than those other guys.
If it's all... Because wouldn't you say, okay, it's all stat-based, right?
Except for Schilling.
Hold on. Do you think it's all stat-based, right? So if you blindly put up player X's numbers, player Y's numbers, and you could easily, just by looking at the numbers, if you know this stuff and you follow it, you know how the other guys got in, what their numbers were, and what you need to do, you would easily look at it with no name attached to it and say, oh, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Right?
That's why I say Roy Halladay is in my mind, because he didn't have the 18 years like some of these guys. His real career was probably about 10.
Totally dominant.
And it was 10 of the most dominant years. Yeah. I mean, ERAs were mid-2s every year. He's top five, Cy Young, winning it, you know, a couple of different occasions. And it was just 10 years of just holy smokes. It wasn't 18 years of very good. It was 10 years of, you got to be bleeping me. You know, so that's a Hall of Famer in my mind.
Well, that's what Pedro was. That was what Sandy Koufax was. So, but when you talk about the numbers, the stats, the problem I have with it is they're now judging players who played 10 years ago or plus now with the Veterans Committee, and they're attaching the newfound numbers. So they're now going back in their career and they say, okay, forget about RBIs, forget about home runs. Let's look at these new metrics we want to look at, right? Exactly. And they're coming up with new reasons to get it in. I want to talk about Schilling before we move on in this, because Schilling is getting screwed, clearly, because of his political beliefs and some of the things he said.
No question.
Now, they can attach it and they can say all they want about the character issue. So Dan Shaughnessy voted for him the first 2 years, then pulled his vote and said, I'm never voting for him again because of a character issue. Well,
because of the reporter's meme.
Correct, which was meant to be a joke. I think that's what he said it was. And, of course, Shaughnessy took it very to heart because he's extremely – we know Dan's extremely sensitive. And he would never, ever pick on anybody else and do anything that Dan thought was funny but might be viewed as hateful to the person he's directing it to, right?
He's indefatigable.
Okay. Dan, you're no different. Really, you're no different than what Schilling does out there. And I heard Reamer talk about it this morning, and we all know where his politics lie, and so he doesn't want the guy. But isn't there a difference between character issues and where you stand politically?
Should be.
Because we can go back to a lot of the guys that are in there right now, and you know there are character issues with those guys. But do you want to go and deal with the politics of some of the guys in the past? Are we going to start picking and choosing and plucking and throwing guys out because we don't like their politics?
No, they should not even have a vote. If they're openly saying that's what they're – if they're hiding behind the character clause, that just drives me crazy. So you define the character one way. Another guy defines the character another way. This upsets me. This doesn't upset the other guy. Like, the character clause was set up for, like, you know, rapists, thieves, the O.J. Simpson types, guys doing drugs, cheating the system. That's the character. Then if you really have an issue with, I don't like people, I don't like athletes who eat meat. I'm a vegan. That's a character issue. Like, bad people eat meat. You should protect the animals. You're going to eat chicken? That poor little chicken never did anything to you. Fruits and berries, that's all you should eat. You could easily use that as a reason why you don't vote. I know it's silly, but it's just as dumb as Shaughnessy sitting there saying, well, you know what? I don't like the picture he put up there. Well, why? Well, it's hate speech. To you? Because you're interpreting it that way. But that's not his intentions. So now run with it, right? Now you can hide behind your excuse. You can hide behind your character clause. And you cannot give the man his due. And that's what drives me crazy about these freaking writers. Like, they have the last say. And they didn't do crap. I almost said the other word. They didn't do anything.
That's later.
That's
they
the next thing.
They did not do anything.
See, I understand the whole, like, the character clause. And like you're saying, like, now it's about, you know, I differ his opinion, political opinion, which I think is a joke. I always lean on the whole performance enhancing argument. You know, because I got news for you people. You've already voted in some. Not 20 years ago either. Okay? And everybody thinks they know what it looks like. You know how many bad bodies that I knew were on the juice? You know how many skinny people that I knew that were on the juice? You know, I mean, so it's, you think you can identify who was on and who wasn't?
How about names, Mr. Canseco?
So they hide behind, you know, well,
steroid guy, yes.
If this guy comes out, and I get it, but it's, all right, that guy got caught. But others haven't, and you let them in, you know, and the same reasoning why you look at careers, you look at others, you don't want to bring it up. So it's just, to me, it is, I don't know how they do it, how do they stay consistent, and because of it, I just say, Barry Bonds was the most dominant hitter of all time, in my mind, of all time. Roger Clemens, one of the best right-handed pitchers of all time. I don't understand how you can't put that. Manny Ramirez was one of the best right-handed hitters of all time.
Of all time. I was going to say all time.
Hell.
Weren't you going to say all time?
All time. Were you going to say all time?
I was going to say it also.
Well,
it would be every year.
I mean, I just say, listen, God bless you for keeping them out, because I don't get it.
I don't either, because it's very simple for us to attach a mystical little asterisk next to their name. Everybody knows what they did. But how dominant were they? Unbelievable. Coming up next, a brand new segment on the program. We are sending Christian right now into our new emotional comfort room. Okay, it's a closet. It's not really a studio, whatever. It's four walls and a microphone. And let him unleash his true emotions. And in doing the way we're doing it, he will not suffer that 1 week suspension that some employees every once in a while seem to suffer.
I'm actually jealous.
Well, you'll get your choice. We're all going to get a chance to go into
my day.
You'll have your day.
Trust me,
we'll all have our day. All right, we will do that coming up next.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
They don't have it anymore. Superman lost his cape, Tom Brady.
Yep.
I don't think that's the case anymore. What I saw last week from Tom Brady, what I heard from him after the game, 50 Cent, many men wish death upon me. I think we are officially in scorched earth, post-deflate gate, f*** you tour, Tom Brady. And I don't with that guy.
All right, so that's on the radio.
Amen.
And the problem you have is, the problem you have is that you just can't do this on the radio, Lou. So we've opened up a little segment of the program, and you'll hear it in a second, where one of us will get sent to the emotional comfort room, and you'll be able to do your stuff, and we'll have editors in there that'll sit there and, you know, push all sorts of buttons.
We can do this moving
and,
forward.
Yeah, exactly, and we can do this. So before we do that, though, this little story today, which I must tell you, might have been the most hilarious story I have ever read in my life. I mean, you talk about a rump swab. You talk about a... I'll save it for other people. This is the story today in the Boston Globe by Peter Abraham. The headline, a thank you note to Mariano Rivera...
His buddy.
...for help with a key career decision.
I wrote about that the other day.
Mariano Rivera, the best relief pitcher in baseball history, also excelled at giving job advice. In 2009, when former Globe sports editor Joe Sullivan unexpectedly offered me a job, I actually asked for a few days to think about it.
I'm sure it's going to work out.
The Globe was my dream job, but it wasn't an automatic decision because I was working for the Journal News of White Plains, New York. Now, you know I like to read newspapers. I've never read the Journal News of White Plains.
That's the one you have not hit yet?
Do I leave the Journal News?
You know, in beautiful New Jersey.
Is this unbelievable?
Let's get him up here.
So he said he stayed there because was thinking about staying there because there was a sense of loyalty to the Journal News, which had given me a chance to cover the majors. Blah, blah, blah. Stop it. All fraudulent. As I debated my options, there were still games to cover. And I went to Yankee Stadium the next day. And Mariano Rivera approached me in the clubhouse before the game and said, "Hey, I hear you're thinking about leaving us." Oh, I still didn't know how he found out. But I laid out the pros and cons of my choice, and we chatted for a few minutes.
Wait, can we just stop right there? Well, you know, Mariano, and I don't know if he was in uni. I don't know if this is before BP or after BP, but, yeah, this is, I don't know, it's a tough decision. You know, I mean, I love the Journal News. I mean, it's given my first opportunity, and I'm a loyal guy, and I love you guys, but... You know, Boston Globe is Boston Globe, but I got to move to Boston, and I got to find an apartment, and I don't know many people up there. And Mariano's like, continue, Pete. Keep going, Pete.
Yeah.
Because I don't have film to watch. I don't have to worry about it. I'll do my running or throwing, but continue, please.
Yeah.
So anyways, so I got to find, and I got a cat. So I don't know if the apartment I can have will bring. I'll be able to bring my cat. I
was happy ending. Yeah. He looked me straight in the eye, and he said, I don't know what is right for you, but if you open your heart to God, you will get your answer. Rivera is deeply religious, which I respected, even if I didn't believe in God and that God cared that much about where I worked. But after covering the game and sleeping soundly that night, I woke up and knew I had to go to the Globe. Something just clicked that made everything clear. That afternoon, again in the clubhouse, Rivera called me over. You decided, he said. I can see it in your face. Can anybody believe
this? And at that moment, I said to myself, if I ever get a vote for the Hall of Fame, you're the first person I'm putting in.
I don't know how you can vote for guys who represent that era.
So this article was co-authored by Kevin Cullen.
It sounds like a Kevin Cullen article.
This is all made up.
Do you think this is all made up? Do you know why he had to think about?
I knew Tommy Hughes. I knew Benny Hoffman.
Phony, fake news. The Journal News of White Plains. You know why he was afraid of leaving? Because he had a closet full of pinstripe gear that Pete was going to have to unload. I told him what I decided. He wished me well.
He waited with.
Rivera played four more seasons, and every time we crossed paths, he asked how things were going in Boston. How's your family, Pete?
Yeah.
Is everything good in the family?
Found a woman yet?
this is the most outrageous thing I have ever read in a Boston newspaper. I mean, I howled reading it today. So here's what we want the true feelings on this.
But hold on a second. Yeah. Because, see, this kind of like leads to like why I just get so irritated with this voting process in the first place. So basically, he's showing his hand. So Curt Schilling, who's Probably just the opposite. Probably never said a word to him.
No,
never
just the opposite.
Boo.
Schilling was great with the media. Oh, he gave the media plenty of time.
That's a good thing.
He was always accessible.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad.
They don't like his politics.
That. Oh, wait, so that's what it is.
That's it.
So because of his politics.
The media loved him because he wouldn't shut up.
Perfect. Yeah, it was a great soundbite, right?
Yep,
back in the old days, big ocean, right? So, but now you're kind of showing your hand that you've shown that if people are nice to you and you agree with their way of life and then they then they're more apt to get your vote than somebody else who's a little bit boisterous about things that you don't agree with. So Schilling is a victim of that.
Yes.
Right? Because you'll never tell a story about Schilling now, right? Because you hate him. You don't like him. Like Shaughnessy, you don't like him. You gave him a vote before. Now he tweets out something that you don't agree with. And you know what? Character clause. I can't do it anymore. I can't give you my vote. Forget the fact that you earned it. Like, you earned it. Yet these knobs, these guys sit there and go,
knobs.
They have the last word.
This is unbelievable.
This doesn't make any sense. This drives me crazy.
This is the
worst. Makes no sense. Why do they have that power?
Okay. Hold on.
They don't deserve it.
We're going to send you.
They don't use it the right way.
We're going to send you into the comfort room so you don't get into serious trouble. Listen, we'd like to have you around, big fella. We don't want you to have to take a week off or whatever. I just think that this thing, when I read it, I've never seen more jock sniffing in my life. And I'll tell you, I don't believe this story at all. When the Hall of Fame ballot arrived in December, checking off Rivera's name was easy because he was such a tremendous pitcher. Now that he's officially in the Hall, I'll remember watching Rivera pitch. And
more importantly,
go to the closet.
No.
And more importantly, how he became an unlikely sounding board when a big decision had to be made.
Okay, hold on. Can I ask Les Lou one thing? I got to ask you this. Okay, honestly, this is real talk.
Okay, this is fiction.
Real talk. Do you think it's right that, like, guys like this, beat writers like this, even though I respect the job that they do, right, because it's a lot of work and, you know, watching baseball and writing about it, traveling, well, you know, is really tough, and, eating popcorn and free food, it's really difficult, right? Do you think it's right that they actually have the ability to dictate somebody else's future, how they're remembered, based on that person's personality?
Get in the closet.
They should not be able to do it, right? You should remove it.
I know, but it's not all of them. I think some of them do a good job with it.
Nick, I saw Nick Cabardo say that he didn't. He removes it.
Separating the two?
No, Abraham's off the deep end. I mean, he really
is. He's so off the deep end.
I just don't know who's serving jock sniffers.
But here's the thing. I just don't know who should vote. I don't know if you guys, you know, during the Hall of Fame.
Coaches.
Every year.
And other players.
Here's the thing, though. Every year, if you watch, like, say, MLB, and they do the Hall of Fame preview, and they'll list 10 guys. Not one of them would say that the guy's not a Hall of Famer. Not one of them. Because they played with him. They're friends with him. So if you grab like a 10-year generation of coaches, GMs, and former players and say, you guys vote, they'll vote everybody in my mind. They would vote everybody in. Right? Because it's just more of a respect thing. I don't think anyone, they don't say a negative word about anybody.
Well, that's what
right? On the networks type of stuff. So they would just let everybody in. The players.
It worries me about the Veterans Committee right now.
When I think about, when
I think they're going to let everybody in.
The NFL Hall of Fame, right? And you've mentioned this plenty of times. When you see a Hall of Famer, you know he's a Hall of Famer. You don't have to sit there and dissect it and look into it. I know right away. Walter Jones is a Hall of Fame left tackle, right? Ray Lewis is a Hall of Famer. Like, Rob Gronkowski will be a Hall of Fame tight end. Maybe he's a jerk. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, even you want to put Julian Edelman in.
I mean, he's got a lot more to accomplish now that I actually went back and did some more research. He's got a lot more to accomplish. However, I like the... Don't get me off track here.
We have one day Fourier. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I still think it's a good conversation.
Tony La Russa was the one that basically got Harold Baines in.
Sure did.
So we're going to go to, like, you know, Terry Francona. Is Dustin Pedroia a Hall of Famer? What do you think he's going to say?
No, I thought he was after the first 2 years.
He's one of his favorite players of all time. Yeah, so I think Tito's going to sit there on national TV and say no. Vote published, you know, in the BBWAA, Terry Francona, Dustin didn't vote for Dustin Pedroia. You think they're going to want that? They'll vote for everyone.
So I think the character issue obviously is important, but you need to define it. Like, you can't be, your political views cannot be held against you. Like, doing sending out a stupid tweet with no explanation or a picture or a meme with no real explanation or definition of why or how you're using it can't be and shouldn't be held against you. You can't hide behind it. That, to me, is the biggest cowardly move going.
Okay, you know what I love the most about this is that this is a baseball subject, Hall of Fame. This guy was on fire.
It's driving me
when
nuts.
We got here. Absolutely.
So I can't. It's like,
so during
it's
the last break, let's just
need,
get to
you
it.
You needed therapy.
It's the first edition of our emotional comfort room. During the last timeout, all right, the last break, we sent Christian into the emotional comfort room. Yes, it's a little closet with a mic and four walls.
I feel like I need to go back.
And it, right, and we just let him go on Pete Abraham. Let's go.
Okay. All right, so on. I was getting so f***ing irritated. Like, so this motherfucker, all these motherfuckers do, it's all they do. All they do is this. They sit there and they watch the f***ing game. And then they think they have the ability to pass judgment. And then they hide behind some bullshit character clause. Are you f***ing kidding me? Abraham, this motherfucker, dude, go find the shoes that David Price is wearing and why don't you go copy him? Maybe you could be as cool as him. You're not. You won't ever be. It's not going to happen. I don't get what the fuck.
Oh,
these, it's, you know what it is? I got it. It's these are the type of guys that never got invited to the cool party. No bottle service for them. They sat in the corner. They held up the wall. But now you know what they do? They get a pen and they get a piece of paper. And then they hang around long enough and they get to vote on whether or not some dude who spent his entire motherfucking life working for this one moment because he watched the game. I watched the game. I feel like I should get a vote. You know what? You know what? I'm going to call this the Fourier Island. You know the first motherfucker I'm voting off? Pete Abraham. The dude that's like following all those crazy ass freaking like Instagram models. That guy. That dude. F*** you. Whatever.
Feel better, huh?
Oh my god!
A little shocked.
Is that legal?
A little shocked. A little embarrassed, but I feel better.
A thank you note to Pete Abraham for help. There you go. For
it's
making
just not
our
right.
Show. First of all, raise your hand if anybody out there actually believes
check
that,
with management
actually
that
believes that this happened. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Mariano Rivera might have said hi to him, or how you doing, or something like that, because he's around every day. You see that? Does anybody really believe that that was the decision that turned it around for Pete Abraham? That it was Mariano Rivera touching him?
You know, the first motherfucker
with his hands off his shoulder. And here's what's even more embarrassing.
Journal News or the Boston Globe?
Yeah, come on. Of White Plains, New York. Okay? That's like the Lynn item. Okay?
You get your choice.
The Boston Globe or the Lynn item. Come on.
I am so proud of you. Coming from like a guy that knows rants, that was beautiful.
Mr. Baseball right there.
That
Mr. Baseball
was beautiful.
But this is not right. But
this, I like
it's
this therapy
not,
room.
It's not right. It's
I can't
not
wait
fair.
To get pissed about something.
It's not right. It isn't. So you bullshit character clause?
It is. They're hiding behind the character clause. They should not be able to use this character clause.
Major League Baseball needs to come out and define it. And say what they can and cannot do. So if it's obvious that you don't vote for Schilling, well, why didn't you vote for Schilling? You voted for him twice before. What? Well, I didn't
character
like what he did. You see what he tweeted?
He made a meme about a reporter.
Hate memes. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, but it really wasn't. Right. It wasn't a hate meme.
Well, it depends how you interpret it. So to some people, that's why you said it right earlier. Hate speech to one person is different to another person.
But there's obvious hate speech, which we can all identify.
I would agree with that.
There's obvious stuff.
But there's another 33% that might be questionable.
You're like, well, really?
Can I give you hate speech?
Yes.
Tom Brady puts on a MAGA cap. Is that hate speech?
To some.
Yeah. 33%, maybe more.
For what
maybe
they
50%.
Think it represents.
Yes.
How it, yeah,
that's
I get
hate
it.
Speech now.
So if didn't Bill send Trump a letter?
Right. Yeah.
So
hate
you're
going to
hold him out of the Hall of Fame?
Hate speech.
Because he sent Trump a letter.
Hate speech. Well, I'll tell you what. If he ever puts his hands on my shoulders and gives me advice, where
I
to go?
Hundreds of letters and notes every month.
This is unbelievable.
I tell you,
here's what makes it worse. Can I just bring this one up?
I was just going to say, this is probably the best.
Okay. This is, to the this is directed to the Boston Globe and the sports editor and the editors over there. We love reading the comment sections, and I'm glad you have comment sections. It's good. Barstool got rid of them. Now they're back, but I guess you have to be a Gold Plus
Barstool Gold.
Member. Yeah, you got to be Gold member or something. That means I got to pay. So the Globe has the comment section, and I'm going through all of the comments, and we all did. There's one negative you know, comment toward Pete Abraham.
No, so people really like
it. This is the first one, Lou. El Camino. Two Hall of Famers here. Mariano and Pete, if you ask me.
No bottle service for them.
Meanwhile, I'm still carrying a grudge versus the Hall of Fame for taking my ballot away. These people are applauding
Pete Abraham
for opening up his life to the rest of the world.
Pete, I'm very glad you chose to cover the Red Sox. You're the best team beat writer in the business.
Oh, you're awesome.
Every reporter will tell you that when they bring up, like, all Twitter is just a cesspool, they'll tell you it's like the comment section of a story you write. That's why a lot of them don't read the comments. Like, the comment section is just a bigger cesspool, just as big as Twitter.
Yeah.
Every single comment in here is about Great Beatus. And I'm like, can't be true.
Because they deleted a bunch of them. The Globe is sitting there, okay, giving you the news that they want to give, giving you the comments they want to give. This is a total BS piece by Pete Abraham. How people can't see through this? This is incredible.
I feel like I should get a vote.
All right, we get to your phone call. But we went on his Twitter account, okay? And remember, this is the guy that reached out and called somebody the Grand Wizard. Some of his follows are like, exotic women that are, you know.
The dude that's like following all those crazy ass freaking like Instagram models.
Yeah, that guy. He's doing all this stuff. And we went on his Twitter account and we looked at his comments toward this, right? They're all positive. You know why?
Because he's blocked or muted everybody.
That's exactly what he's
done. Great personal story, Pete. Thank you. Ignore the meanies. There aren't any meanies.
You're blocked.
None. Best sports writer in Boston. Rolled my eyes when I saw the headline, but I was wrong. Nice story. I mean, they left one guy in there. One guy in there I forget how he said, can't believe these butt-kissing comments. This article simply furthers my belief that you're incapable of objectivity covering any professional sports team, let alone your boss owns the team you cover. You're a fanboy, Pete, and the story highlights that. That was the only one. They did that in there just to show that they were balanced.
What?
I have to laugh.
Let me just tell you. Everybody is laughing and rolling their eyes. And you know who are rolling their eyes and laughing their ass more than we are? The beat writers. The guys that are on the beat that are with this guy because they know it's all a bunch of garbage. Self-serving, jock-sniffing garbage. And they all know it. Dan Shaughnessy's laughing his ass off right now at this. Now, he won't say it publicly because it's the Globe. We have to all stay together. But you're telling me that Shaughnessy or anybody else in the beat is sitting there going, oh, Pete, that was wonderful what you wrote about Mariano Rivera. And I'm sure he had a great impact on your life. Come on. Are you kidding me?
That was a rough one. That was fun, though. Well done.
You guys all.
To the phone calls. We take a break. Cigarette break. 617-779-7937.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
We'll get to Pete Abraham, who works here for U.S. Red Sox fan, thanks to Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, we learned that today.
But at some point this morning, between now and 10 o'clock, I want to talk about Pete Abraham and this. What's the adjective? What he wrote about Mariano Rivera today? What's the word?
We didn't share that Pete Abe said Mo Rivera told him to open up his heart.
I blame you.
Covering the Yankees.
This was your story today. It was your job to get it in somehow.
Excuse me.
How much time did you spend yelling about Trump today? You could have done that.
We have 1 minute.
So I listened to Mutt and Callahan this morning. They teased it about 4 or 5 times for about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And the first I heard of the Pete Abraham story was when they were teasing it, like, I don't know, 8 o'clock or something like that. I said, oh, this is good. I got to go check it out. So I go to bostonglobe.com, give them the little plug, and I go and I read it, and I laugh my ass off. And I'm sitting and waiting for those guys. And then every couple breaks, you know, Mutt would come on and tease it again, and then he'd tease it again. And then they get to the end of the show where they're basically handing it off to Dale O'Keefe, and then he comes out and says, Remus says, we never got to the Pete Abraham story.
By accident?
No! What happened to that show? When they actually had a sack in the morning?
Yeah,
come on! Come on, Jerry!
My issue, just so I'm clear, I don't know Pete Abraham. I don't know him from that Tom Brady.
You know what?
Statue.
You know what? He's a big fan of professional athletes. If you'd like to get together,
the fact is that I don't
anymore.
Like the way. Listen, I won't lose any sleep over it, but that's fine. Come up to me. We'll have a discussion. If you ever want to have a discussion, come on, we'll do it. But I hate the fact that this is the way it works, and it shouldn't work this way. It should not work this way. Like, none of these guys did nothing. didn't help out any of these players whatsoever. They didn't carry a bat. They didn't swing at a pitch. They didn't field a ball. They didn't save a home run. They didn't work during the offseason. They didn't rehab. Nothing. They have no idea. None whatsoever.
But you're really, sensitive about this. I get it.
I understand what you're saying, right? Because I don't want to generalize all of them.
Correct.
Because I do think there's some out there that can be objective and it can just look at whether these guys are Hall of Famers on the field or not. Right. I don't care what they did off the field.
You
whatever.
Tell me, Lou.
Character clause. I mean, I think you said before the show. Character clause. Okay. Commit a crime. You know, rape. You go to prison. You know, you invoke those sort of things. I get it. But I don't know. I don't know the right answer because I don't think former players, managers can be objective. Like I just don't. Like I feel like they would let everybody in.
Well, see, neither can writers then.
They would what?
Well, then no one can be objective then. I mean, I just want them to be better at it.
That's all. Some of them better. I mean, just there's so many things, and you know, we talk about all the time resumes for these athletes that really mean something. You know, when you get. You know, whether it's Silver Slugger, Cy Young, MVP. I mean, right now we're talking about Hall of Fame. And we'll say, well, this guy's not a Hall of Famer. Why? Because he only got top five in Cy Young two or three times in his career. So these are the things that people look back on. You know, that. So when you don't vote for a guy because you just, for some stupid reason, to be Cy Young or MVP or Gold Glove or even All-Star ballots. You know, the way they do the All-Star ballots, the popularity contest. It's the problem I had like out in Kansas City. You know, I think a couple years back, I thought Xander Bogaerts should have been an All-Star, and he wasn't. And I'm like, you know, this is the stuff. They'll look years from now, they'll say, he was never an All-Star, Lou. He wasn't that good. You know why? Because people stuffed the ballots from out in freaking Kansas City, and they put whoever there. And it's these guys' lives are affected by it, whether you get in the Hall of Fame. And then all those things that you don't give them Silver Sluggers or Gold Glove Awards or whatever it is or how the voting process is. When you get to the Hall of Fame, those things add up on your resume. And I hate that. And
Loney is a stupid head.
It's to me, and then I'll end it, right? I don't need to, no more therapy. I'll cap it with this. I would say that picking a Hall of Fame baseball player is a lot easier than a football player.
I would agree.
Because here are his numbers.
Team.
Okay,
individual game.
Okay, are you a good, if you're a great hitter, what are your splits? What is it? You're a pitcher? You know, how dominant are you? Right? That's really it. Here are all my numbers. Compare them with the other guy. Forget about it. That's it. So I would say, well, here are all the guys that are up. This guy's got the best numbers. Pick him. Well, I don't like him. Well, why? Because he enjoys Disneyland. I hate Disneyland. he buys foreign cars. I hate people who do that.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
He collects World War II memorabilia.
Yeah,
that's the reason that Schilling is not here.
And why would anybody do that?
I remember in the morning show, right? They had one guy, they interviewed him, they said he took him off his ballot because of the World War II memorabilia. And then the following year, he added him back on again.
Right. Kurt Schilling is at it again.
1 year punishment?
Well, that's what they like to do, though. They have the power and they penalize guys. That's why I think Schilling, after what I saw this vote, over 60%, I think he gets in. But he might have to wait another 3 years. They want to penalize him for 9 years and then put him in. So it's one thing about what we're talking about the vote. Should they have the vote? Is the vote fair? The second one, though, is this guy who does have a vote, who I do not know, Pete Abraham, who is actually writing a piece not to talk about how great Mariano Rivera was, but how Mariano Rivera changed his life. I got to tell you, Pete, if he's carrying your fat ass out of a burning building and he saved your life, then he deserves 10,000 words.
No, but he's only doing it to show, like, you know, how important it is to be a nice guy.
Oh,
that's how, listen, it's so self-serving, but it's more importantly, listen, he was a nice guy,
He's not doing it for that reason.
No, I think he's doing it. I think he's doing it more for see how close I was to all these players.
Exactly. Oh, that's what he's doing. See,
he's a nice guy.
Right.
Because why would you tell a story about a guy who was a jerk to you?
This is a guy that protected Price all the time and wore the same freaking shoes as Price. Walked around with him. Exactly. I look just like him. Look at me. I mean, come on.
But you got yours for free.
This thing is an embarrassment. I can't believe the Globe even published this.
All right.
I swear to God. If I were an editor, I'd look at it and say, hey, Pete, come on. You can include that maybe in a story about Mariano Rivera, maybe a one little line. It was nice. Rivera once said to me when I was trying to make the decision, hey, you should go to Boston. So, okay, but a whole freaking story? You got to be kidding me.
In my mind, we've made significant changes.
All right, let's go to the phone calls. Here's Bob in Waltham. Hello, Bob.
Yo,
know, when I first heard you reading that Pete Abraham piece, and I hate to make an assumption that people are making stuff up, but all I could think of was that Kevin Cullen is his
yep,
name.
That's what Lou said.
Co-author.
Marathon bomber. I mean, come on. Look.
Do you believe it, Bob? Do you believe that story?
I don't think so.
No, I don't either.
So. Now, but if it, let's say it's true for a second, even if it is true, that you're right. That should have been a one-liner. There's so much good stuff that Mariano Rivera has done for the community, for the poor people in New York City, yep. Yankee fans, yep. Also for his people back in Cuba. Yep. He is a great guy. That would have been so much of a better story to do.
And Red Sox fans loved him, by the way. They loved him here.
I've always felt that dynasty was Mo. He was the MVP because that dude, I'm telling you, man.
Life, and Mariano Rivera is probably my favorite baseball player of all time.
Shorten the game, Lou.
I mean, that guy, you're sitting there in the sixth inning, and you're like, if we don't get it, it's over.
That's right.
Because if we get a rally in the seventh, he'll go 2 1/3.
Yeah.
You know, at that song.
Scared to death right now. Here he comes. He's coming in.
And you know,
most guys do for 3 or 4. You know, I mean, that's amazing.
Okay.
Really. Thanks, Bob.
All right, Bob, thank you very much. Here's Randy in New Bedford. Randy.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, Randy.
So I went to high school with this kid, Pete Abraham.
Oh, no.
The stories I can tell.
Say it right now. We don't know.
I don't think we
have
Randy, we don't know if it's true or not, so it's pretty difficult.
Ahead.
And it's not fair to do. We see his writing, and we can laugh at him based on what he wrote today in the Boston Globe. Yeah. I don't think we need, you know, some of those high school stories. Were they funny, though?
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty funny. I mean, you know.
No, we can't do
it. He couldn't get out of his own way.
I get that. You know, we can't go with the high school stuff because that wouldn't be fair because he could be making
Jeez,
the
do not call my high school friends.
Jesus.
Do not. My high school friends will never call the show. Thank God they're still in California.
I'm glad that they gave him 100%. You know, but then it sort of looks back and say, what's wrong with the other guys like Pedro and Randy and Maddox and Junior? You know, not 100%. I don't get it. But Mo, you should look at him as a closer. He's just looking at the most dominant pitchers of all time.
That had one pitch.
And that is the ridiculous thing.
One pitch. Cutter. That was it.
Well, he had
and everybody
pitches.
Knew.
Well, one,
yeah, but that
I mean,
was
I'm
the
just
pitch.
Saying it was, yeah, but it was like two pitches because it was the cutter and location, if you consider another pitch.
Well, in my book.
Just put it wherever. He wanted every single time, and you knew what was coming, and it didn't matter. He's facing the best hitters in the world, and it just didn't matter.
Yeah, he never had success against you. How about that?
1,000 on base percentage.
You did?
Faced him
that?
Once, and he walked
once.
Me.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Well, look at how many walks he has.
How about that? Can you say that?
No, 16
no,
can't. Pitch
you
at
can't. But you know what? You know
Maybe
what? It, you know what is amazing, and that's why the Bill Ballou thing a month ago when Ballou wasn't going to give it to him because he didn't value the closer position, even though it's a position in Major League Baseball, may have less value now with the new sabermetrics, but it's still an important position. When you look at him and you look, we talk all the time about relief pitching. You can never tell from one year to the next. One guy's great one year, the next year he's trash. Mark Melanson, he sucked here. He goes elsewhere, he's damn good, right? He's great closer. You can't tell. That guy did it every single freaking year. Year after year after year. Mariano Rivera did the exact same thing. All on one pitch, which was unbelievable. All right, we're going to get back to your phone call. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to football, get back to talking about the Patriots, and we're 20 minutes away from our weekly appearance by Teddy Bruschi right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.